Is that better? Well, praise the Lord. I don't know what else is going to happen today, but I believe.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me read you this word first. Amen. For this is indeed the season I am moving quickly and suddenly, says the Lord of hosts. There are those that have grown weary in the waiting. Wake up, wake up. For the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. For the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Not to the temple made with man's hands, but the temple where God now abides. Yes, clear the way and invite the King of glory to come and do what he has promised. Yes, make way with shouts of praise and songs of victory, for surely the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and it shall be. No longer be bowed down, but strengthen yourselves and be thankful. For a thankful heart I will speak to. Long for me. Yes, make yourself hungry for me. Hungry to know me, hungry to see me, for I will fill those that are hungry. Cry out to me with your whole heart. Seek me, and I will let you find me. Suddenly I will appear and make things right, and you shall see my glory manifested in the earth through you. Amen. God wants to know that he's wanted. God wants to know that he is desired. If you never pay no attention to God and pay no mind to him and never give him any praise and never be thankful, you know, in his grace he will pay attention to us, but why should he? You know, when you love somebody, in order for them to bless you, you pay them attention. You give them praise. So today we're going to be talking about the glory of the Lord and what the glory of the Lord means. Hallelujah. And when you know, I've been studying this for a few days now, and when you start studying about the glory of the Lord and thinking about the glory of the Lord, help me, Jesus, get through this. Here we go. So today we're going to be talking about the glory of the Lord and what the glory of the Lord is. You know, we're going to go all the way back to Exodus, and we're going to start that way, and then we're going to work our way up. Amen? So when you leave here today, you're going to know so much about the glory of the Lord, the first thing you see move, you're going to lay your hands on them because you're going to think they need healing. Amen? In Exodus 33:18, Moses asked God, please show me your glory. And I'm not going to get into detail of all this stuff. We're just going to skim the top of it. Moses asked God, please show me your glory. Now, the Hebrew word for glory used by Moses in this particular situation was kabod. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but it sounds good to me. It's a Hebrew word. And it means the weight of something good, weight of something. And it means the weight of something in a good sense, in a good meaning, the weight of something. And it also speaks of splendor, abundance, and honor. So Moses was asking God, show me yourself in all of your glory and all of your splendor and all of your honor. Show me, God, show me. And so God's response to Moses was, I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So Moses requested all of his glory, and God referred to his glory as all of my goodness. God's glory, all of my goodness. And the Hebrew word for goodness is T-U-W-B, and it means good in the biggest way that you can think of. In other words, nothing is withheld from you when it comes to the goodness of God. He is trying to get so much to us that we haven't even begun to tap into and to really understand all the goodness of God and what he wants to do for us. In the widest sense, it means nothing is withheld. Nothing is withheld from those that walk up right before God. Then God said to Moses, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So then we see that the glory of the Lord is everything that makes God God. It means God himself. See, we want to take this, the anointing, and all this stuff. We want to separate it. When it comes back to God, it's the very essence of who God is. It's God in all of His glory. His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His loving kindness. The characteristics of authority, power, and wisdom, magnitude of God are contained within His glory. Nothing hidden or held back. The glory of God, as I said, is His divine character, the very essence of God, the glory. He is the glory. And the glory of the Old Testament was just a fading glory, according to 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. That how much more done away with glorious, how much more that which remains is glorious. Lord wants to cover us in the presence of His glory. Not just cover us, but what is already there to come out in the earth. So that we can cover the earth with His presence. Isaiah 60:20 says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." In case you haven't heard any news lately, I think the world is getting pretty dark out there. Amen? But it says, "Gross darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you. The Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen." The glory of God is something that's tangible, something that can be seen. The glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. And the world today is like the scripture in Judges, where it says, every man does what he thinks is right in his own eyes. They just do whatever they think pleases their flesh, take no accountability for what they're doing, whether it hurts anybody else or not. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. People are going to come to themselves one day. They're going to have a wake-up moment, an uh-uh moment, and say, something is not right. This is not what I was created to be. This is not how I was created to act. Amen. You know, it's like that chair there. That chair was made to sit in. But you could take that chair and you could use it for a whole lot of other things besides that chair. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And when you choose to use your body any other way than what God created it to be, it's never going to bring the fullness and joy to your life that God intended for you to have. Amen. Glory to God. That was a free one. And Brother Bob mentioned one morning about the woman was trying to get Jesus to touch the hem of His garment. And oh man, that starts something in me, and I realized that we're wearing that garment. We're wearing that garment of the glory of God. We're wearing that garment of the anointing. You're wearing that garment today. So as New Testament believers, we are now the carriers of God's glory. We carry His presence in the earth. Because we now are the temple of God. Back to the Old Testament, the house of God was a physical building. And at first it was a tabernacle. If you've been in Pastor LaVarne's teachings, it was just a tabernacle, which was a tent. And later the house of God was called Solomon's Temple. And it was given the name because Solomon built it. It's where the Jews went to meet God. And in the presence of God, they called it the Shekinah glory of God, which was attached to something they could see. And it was kept hidden in the Holy of Holies. And the glory of the Lord would be manifested in a form, and the whole congregation, they would see it. Where is the tangible presence of God today? Where are the blind eyes that you could see open? Amen. The limbs that grows out, as Pastor was talking about. They saw the glory of God. They saw the goodness of God. Something that you could see. What makes people run to the church and run to God? They want something they can tangibly see. They want to see that our God is real, and what we preach and what we confess is what we truly believe. People are going to be looking for somewhere to go. Do we believe that we have the answer? Amen. That we have the answer to what they're seeking for. In 1 Timothy, Hebrews 3:6 says, "But Christ as the Son over His own house, whose house we are collectively made up, that house, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." So if each of us houses the glory of God, and then we all come here, and as Pastor said, it becomes a collective glory of God. Wow. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "Know that you're not the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." And when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, they knew about temples because they had temples everywhere worshiping their own God. their own god. The city was full of temples with different gods. But Paul is saying, listen, you're the temple of God now. You are the temple of God. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God's glory. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. He is the glory. And so when God's glory touches us, it's manifested through us, it's the weighty presence of God being released. It's the weighty presence of God being released. The Hebrew word for this glory, as I was talking about earlier, is the abundant riches, the glory, splendor, and honor of God. A tangible presence. Moses experienced this glory and witnessed that tangible presence. And so God, you know, appeared to Moses in the cloud, as we know, and he said, "Will you hear me speaking with you and put their trust in you?" On the morning of the third day, you know, there was thunder and there was lightning. There's that tangible evidence that God was there. Tangible evidence that God was there. And then, of course, you have to go ahead and read that in Exodus sometime. It talks about the very loud trumpet blast. And so throughout the scripture, we read about the glory of God coming to people and visiting them in divine manifestations. In divine manifestation, the Lord always chose to release His glory through signs and wonders. We are the continuation of the book of Acts, church. We are the church that's to bring the fulfillment to the book of Acts. Signs and wonders. The tangible presence of God evident that people can see there is hope for me. Amen. That there is hope for me. So why should we expect anything different today? It's not thrown away, but it's as real today as it was in the book of Acts. God said, I just need somebody to believe me that the glory is in you and just do it. The glory of God is full, as we read, of signs and wonders. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same today, and I'll be the same forevermore. So now as New Testament believers, as New Testament believers, we are now the carriers of that glory. One of the thoughts that came to me this morning as I was writing some notes down was that we've been so busy asking God to do it. When He said, listen, I've done it. Now you go do it. Because we've been made ambassadors for God. So we're sitting around thinking, well, if God ain't going to do it, then it ain't going to get done. No, it ain't going to get done because we're not doing anything. And it's not cocky, that's not prideful, but that's confidence. And saying, if I lay hands on the sick, I've got somebody backing me up that says, I've already given you the power to do it. Now you go do what I've told you to do. Bring heaven to earth and watch me do it. Because we've been made ambassadors. The Bible says in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He has anointed us and qualified us to preach the gospel. Good tidings to the meek, the poor, the afflicted. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, opening a prison in the eyes of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You know, in Mark it says, I've sent you, go out and lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. This is what you've been commissioned to do as a church. So He says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor. All of His glory lives in you because God lives in you. And you know when that veil was rent from top to bottom, He was no longer hid in the Holy of Holies. He came to live in His people now. Amen. So to all of my glory, He says, I have anointed you. I have sent you in my name to lay hands on the sick and watch my glory fall. Cast out devils and watch my glory fall. Lay hands on the blind and they'll see and watch my glory fall. Preach the gospel of good news to the meek and poor and afflicted. And then He says, watch my glory fall. Proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives. Opening of the prison of the eyes to those who are bound. And then watch my glory fall. Amen. So God is anointing us today. anointed. And we had just had the signs before we had the preaching of the word, because he knew what the preaching of the word was. So God doesn't have to do things in order like we think he should. But this word is just a confirmation of what already has taken place. So instead of us sitting back waiting for God to do something, at the word he gave us, get up, fasten your shoes, buckle up, and get ready to run and do what he's already commissioned you to do, and quit waiting on God to do something. When he says, I'm waiting for you to do it because I've already done it. Because when Jesus says it's finished on the cross, then he literally means it's finished. I've commissioned you now. You're an ambassador. Amen. We live in a foreign country right now. And we got it. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We changed citizenships to heaven. We just ain't got there yet. But while we're here in this foreign land, we made ambassadors. And when an ambassador is sent out, they're backed up. They're supposed to be. They're backed up by the government. They're backed up by power. And it's the same thing with us as ambassadors of Christ. Because it's like the word that God gave pastors to them. You just show up. You just get up in the morning and buckle up and show up in life, and then let me show out. But here we are. We're wanting God to do it for us. He says, I've called you to do it. My glory is in you to do it. What else do you want me to do? And one thing I know about God, he will gently persuade us, but he will never literally just push us and make us do things. Amen. But like I said before, there's coming a time that people are going to be looking. And this world is getting darker and darker. But arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, church. You've been commissioned and you've been called to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You've been commissioned and called to preach the good tidings of Jesus Christ, that he seeks and saves that which is lost. I don't know what you may have lost in life, but I don't think that just means that you're going to that seek and save that which is lost and you're going to hell someday. I don't think that literally means that. I think it is whatever you've lost in life, whatever the devil has come to stolen from you. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save whatever you've lost will be restored to you. This is a year of restoration. This is a year of divine reversal. Glory to God. Those things that God says, I'm turning it around, it's going to stop. As I prophesied 2 or 3 weeks ago, things happen in our life, and when they happen, all of a sudden we lose our breath, and some of us have never caught our breath for years. And God says, I'm bringing a fresh wind of my spirit, and you're going to breathe again. You're going to breathe again, says the Lord. You're going to breathe again. Whatever it is that's caused you to lose your breath, that unexpected thing, God says, I'm reversing it. Divine reversal is taking place, and I'm going to restore to you everything, everything and even more, that which the enemy has cost and stolen from you. For this is the season for it. So know, church, the glory of the Lord is in you right now. It's not something you have to seek or go after, but as you seek God, people are wanting to see a tangible God, to see the manifestation of God's glory, to see signs and wonders, to see miracles, to see things. Amen. To see things. Pastor, you finish it up.
Hallelujah. You know, it just keeps happening and happening and happening week after week after week. That when God puts things together, everything that happens complements each other thing. And everything that is said. And I want to read you something. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read you the scripture. Now think about what she said. And Elijah the Tishbite, this was 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Now listen to what he said. There shall be no there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You want me to put it in the way we would have said it? It ain't going to rain and there ain't going to be no dew unless I say so. Unless I say so. He didn't say anything in there about God. It's not going to rain until I say so. Now that put the spotlight on Elijah. And so we see the progress through there until it comes up to the point where the challenge is made on Mount Carmel. When he challenged the prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven. And then it says, and I'm not quoting, I'm just paraphrasing. And God said to Elijah, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. And he went and told Ahab that it was going to rain. And it rained. And you know, in there in a little bit, Elijah prayed. And he kept looking for things to change. But because he done told Ahab it's going to rain. Now, what I'm saying is this. Elijah was the one up before and in front of the people. He did all he could do. He proclaimed, it's not going to rain except in my word. And all Elijah had to do to fulfill that is just wait till God said something. And I'm the one that's going to tell Ahab that it's going to rain. And God spoke to Elijah and said, tell him it's going to rain. Elijah said, it's going to rain. Now that's what Sister Shirley was implying and saying when she was talking about let's do what we need to do because God's already done what he needs to do. God's already made all the provisions. God's already made everything possible. Now it's up to us. You know, the Israelites would never have gotten through that if Elijah had said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, we'd think, well, what if I tell them it's not going to rain until I say so and it rains tomorrow? Then you don't believe God. You're not trusting God. We need to walk out of these doors today trusting God. We need to start right now expecting that when we get back here next Sunday morning, things greater than what we saw today are going to happen next Sunday. Because God says, watch and see. Watch and see.
She kept talking about showing up and God will carry on. All I picture is the seed. We got to plant the seed. You reap what you sow. You got to put it out there, but it does take an effort on our part. We can't just lay back and, oh, there it is. You have to sow it and you have to make the effort because if you don't put the effort forth, you're never going to get the return, whatever it is, faith or not. You can't just wait on him to be there.
Amen. Y'all heard what he said? That's the introduction to my sermon for next Sunday morning. He's telling you now what I'm going to be preaching on next Sunday morning. That's sowing and reaping. And I'm not going to start on it now. I'm just challenging you. Go out here, do what God tells you to do. And you'll find it a most pleasurable thing in the end. Let's stand. Oh, we got something else? You need to remind me of something? Them. Oh.
It's been a while, but I need to remind the parents that we do not turn the children, we don't let them out of class. You have to go pick them up because otherwise, last Sunday, somehow or another, the door got opened and we had kids going to what I'm asking you to do, I want you to stay and visit, but go get your children and then come back and visit. And that way, the teachers can be free to get their classrooms cleaned up and stuff like that. But they're going to keep your children until you come get them, okay?
And remember the leadership meeting following church service today. We'll be meeting in here once everybody's cleared out. We're not going to run you out. Let's bow our heads. Think about what I'm getting ready to say. What do you want in your life? Do you want in your life places where you can look at it and say, God, you really, really did something? Do you want that? Then look at places in your life where you can say, God told me to do that and I did it. And man, this is what happened. I want us to be that way. God told me to do it. I did it. And man, look what happened. And we want to see a move of the Spirit of God. Now, we don't want to get off in the flesh because, you know, you can turn the flesh loose and it mimics things of the Spirit, but the things of the Spirit flow in God's presence. But, Lord, I want to be able to look at places in my life where you said to me, do this, and I did it, and I can say, wow, look what happened. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. So we're grasping onto this. As we're looking and understanding, Lord God, how you're going to use us, how you're going to move through us. And we thank you, Lord God. You'd never set up the church if you were going to do everything anyway. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the opportunity to be part of what you're doing. We don't have the power to bring it to pass except by believing. But Lord God, when we believe, when we choose to believe, when we choose to have faith, then you honor that faith, and we thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to be with your people, minister to them this week, give them boldness and courage to stand for what they need to stand for. And Lord God, I thank you for bringing people in that need to hear and need to experience what happens here. And Lord God, we thank you for that. We're expecting it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you all.